Chapter 1. My mind kept returning to the moment I lost Alex. I couldn't turn off the litany of mistakes I made that led to such a catastrophe. The entire horrifying ordeal looped endlessly in my head as the television droned in the background. Each time my mind's eye relived him slipping from my grasp, a piece of my heart died. The wedding album sat untouched on the coffee table. I couldn't get past the first page without my chest constricting tight enough for my breathing to stop. I was sure the rest of the pictures would produce the same acute pain. The answering machine kept clicking on as the detective in Las Vegas implored me to pick up. I couldn't help the aggravation that flushed over my skin at her stupidity. I had no goddamn voice. How the hell was I supposed to answer the phone? The next time the machine picked up the call and her voice came over the speaker, I actually lifted the receiver, but instead of putting the phone to my ear, I tapped it on the counter. Silence filled the line and I went to disconnect. "I'm an idiot," the detective mumbled. "Mrs. Service, I apologize for my repeated calls. Tap if you can hear me." I thought about just hanging up. Instead, I tapped the phone. "First, are you okay? Tap once for yes, twice for no." My body had been healed by the ocean, so now it was all a mental game. I knew I wasn't right in the head, but she wasn't asking about my state of mind. I tapped once. "Thank God," she whispered. She was silent for a moment. "Do you have the ability to video chat?" I tapped the phone once. "Do you still have my card?" I thought about the soggy papers I pulled out of my pocket and tapped the phone twice. She rattled off her video chat number and I quickly scribbled it down and then put the useless phone back on the charger. I scanned the apartment for my computer. "Oven?" Alex's soft voice filled my brain. Having the narrative of my dead husband in my head for all eternity was going to suck. Each time I heard the musical timbre of his voice, my chest tightened and my lungs forgot to work. It took me a moment to recover, and then I turned towards the mostly unused kitchen appliance. If he hadn't told me where he had hidden it on our way to Las Vegas, it would have taken me months to find the damn thing, considering my laziness in the culinary department. I still couldn't believe he sabotaged my electronics and destroyed Fate's instructions in order to make it impossible for me to insist he not come along. If only he had just listened to me in the first place. I sighed and lugged the laptop back to the couch, propping it up on the wedding album. With a few keystrokes, I had my video call program up and I typed the detective's number. The computer buzzed twice before the frame filled with Detective Mills' face. "Mrs. Service, thank you for calling me back. I apologize for my lack of etiquette before, but we hadn't heard from you and honestly, I was a little worried." "I am okay," I signed. "I'm sorry I didn't call as soon as I arrived, but I wasn't in any condition to carry on a conversation." I still wasn't, but at least I didn't look like death anymore. Her concern touched me. "We have some questions that you might be able to help with." Her gaze turned away from the camera longer than what I considered normal, and her lips scrunched in a way that made me think she was chomping on the inside of her mouth as she formulated her questions. When the detective's gaze came back to the screen, she sighed and shuffled through some papers in her hands. "You referred to that thing as a monster," she started, and left that statement hanging. I nodded and rolled my hand for her to continue. "Our forensic experts are stumped. We have no idea what the hell it is." "Do you know what we do?" I signed. "No," Detective Mills said. "We own a paranormal investigation agency." Her eyebrows went up. "Do you know what that thing was?" "A bicorn. An ancient being that eats the souls of the virtuous." "At least that's what the lore says," I signed. I had nothing to lose by giving her this information. I had already lost everything that mattered to me. "Bicorn?" She glanced at the papers in her hands again. "How do you know? You've had missing persons reports recently, right?" Her eyes narrowed.
"Yes," she said, drawing out the S.
"We watch for things like that. Plus, it gave us the excuse to finally get married. If we had been wrong, we would have had an exceptional honeymoon." A lump formed in my throat, and I closed my eyes, willing the tears not to spill over. The hot paths descending my cheeks told me I failed at that, too. "You purposely came after that thing?" I nodded, and another stream of heat flowed from my shut lids. "Even in your condition?" I opened my eyes. "What condition?" She glanced at the paper in her hand. She licked her lips and opened her mouth to speak.